So this morning, though, open up your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're continuing in our study. We have a birthday this week. It's Elijah Villalobos, and so if you see him today, you can wish him a happy birthday. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're studying a little mini-series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least those that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians. And I've said this before, that there's some 26 gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether they be ministry gifts or calling gifts of God, or are also called leadership gifts, or the ministry gifts of the Spirit, or other probable gifts of the Spirit. They all come from the Holy Spirit. And we all have at least one, especially in the ministry gifts, because God made you a part of the body of Christ as a believer, and then he's given you a ministry within there. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand or don't know. Well, these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these particular ones, I call them spiritual gifts because it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of us all. So the reality is, within these gifts, some of them are pretty spectacular and some of them seem a lot simpler, but they're all important for the body of Christ. So as we're studying them, there are 9 of them and listed here. And I said that there's 26 of the gifts. There's one of them that's mentioned twice, so I say there's 25. And when I say twice, it's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12, but it's also mentioned in Romans 12, the very same gift. But I think this morning you'll capture as to a little bit of that difference as to why. So this morning, follow along, please, as I begin reading at verse 12 through 18, and we'll go into our teaching here this morning. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Father God, we pray this morning for your word to come alive to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive that all that you have for us. Guide us into all truth. Make it plain and simple that we might find application to our own circumstance in life to make choices to glorify you. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. And church, once again, if you agree, say amen. So power for living. God wants to give us all power to live that life in Christ. And as we've been covering in this section, and my little clicker doesn't work, let me see. Nope, it isn't working. If you could advance it, please. That we've covered Roman numeral 1 and 2. You have a written outline for you, and you might want to keep that available because I'm going to give you some scriptures today that you might want available to you. But so far, we've covered Roman numeral 1 and into Roman numeral 2. And at Roman numeral 2, and I'll see if it works. Nope. We have the various gifts listed here. You're going to have to follow me along this morning. And so the revelation gifts, I've grouped them into 3 categories for the ability to understand them. And the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, those all come out of what God reveals by his Spirit. He reveals something to various individuals within the body. And these gifts are appropriate in certain areas. We've already covered them. The power gifts, the gift of special faith. And I say here special because it's faith beyond the faith that you get just by studying the Word. You can study the Word, show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but who can rightly divide the Word of truth. However, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is a dose of faith that goes way beyond that. It stays contained within the will of God, obviously, but it is greater than the faith that we most have as we study the Word. And then the gifts of healings, which we covered last week, we covered the working of miracles. And what a blessing that is, for you're a miracle. Thanks be to God. I love every one of you. However, there is the gift of the working of miracles, where God works through individuals the various acts of his miraculous power. And he does that in ways sometimes you would never imagine, but he does it. And how exciting is that? And then there's the inspirational vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of kinds of tongues, and then the gift of interpretation of tongues. But this morning, we go on to the gift of prophecy. Next slide. Gonna have to keep an eye on it. Okay. Back up. Okay. We're way off. Okay. Forget this. The gift of prophecy. It's in verse 10. So go along with me. To another, the working of miracles. Can Pastor Todd be obtained to help out over there? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And so the gift of prophecy, you might have heard the story because, you see, every once in a while, sometimes we need someone to give us that needed push in our life and give us that encouragement. You might have heard the story of a married couple asleep in bed on a stormy night who were awakened by a loud knock on the front door. And the man crawled out of bed and grumpily went downstairs. And when he opened the front door, he found a man that was dripping wet and obviously very drunk, who said to him, "I can't get my car started. Can you give me a push?" To which the man of the house replied, "No, go and sober up and we'll sort this out in the morning." He slammed the door and stormed upstairs, but he had awakened his wife. When he got back in bed, he explained what had happened to his wife, and she was indignant and said to him, "That wasn't a very kind Christian response. He could be in trouble, and you've just sent him out into the storm for the rest of the night." So reluctantly, the man got out of bed a second time, put on his coat, and went downstairs. He figured he wasn't going to get any peace until he had done something for the man that was out in the rain. When he got to the front door, the rain was just streaming down, just pouring down, and he couldn't see the other man, but he could hear a faint noise out in the front yard, so he calls out, "Hello, are you still there? What can I do to help?" To which the other man replied, "Could you give me a push?" And he says, "I'd be happy to if I could see you. Where are you?" "Well, I'm over here on the swing." And sometimes people might be waiting in the wrong place, or they just need a push. And obviously his car was broken, but somehow the communication was mixed up. Have you ever had the experience of being someplace and the car won't start? Of course you have. The battery being flat, everything else in the car works fine, but the get up and go in the battery has get up and gone. And you're there, you're stuck, and you got to call AAA or something to figure out what to do, and leaving aside the more serious reasons as to why the batteries run down, the short-term solution is usually for another car to come alongside and hook up jumper cables and leads from the strong battery to the weak battery, drawing from alongside the energy and the power your car is able to start up again and function once again normally. That act of drawing alongside or lending energy to another is the basic idea behind a key word in the New Testament, and that word is encourage. Encourage coming out of the word prophecy. And so the reality is sometimes you need that push, sometimes you need that energy, sometimes you need that encouragement or those areas in your life. And God works one of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy. In fact, its definition this morning, it's A on the definition in my study here. The term prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12:10 is used of a Greek word, prophetia, which means the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God, from Vine's Expository Dictionary. So God, out of his all knowledge, speaks forth to individuals. And through this particular gift of the Spirit, he gives them this ability to have the counsel of God, to have that direction of God. But also, it's derived from another Greek word, which is photia, which means from the Greek word, which has a dual meaning, a foreteller, or can also be an inspired speaker. So it has a dual meaning here from its original source. So first and foremost, it's that speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. Secondly, it has a meaning that can be future, or it can have a meaning that could be present. and bring that encouragement or so on right now to that person's life. Listen to the New Living Testament in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, to another, the ability to prophesy. And then the Amplified Translation says this, to another, prophetic insight. That is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. So God uses people in the body of Christ through this gift. It's a very important gift of the Holy Spirit, needless to say, for two areas. One, we don't so much see it today. It's for future events, and there could be a predictive element to it. And that's one area. And I'll cover that last this morning, and how that is to be used and how you are to recognize and how you are to deal with it. But then there's another more important element that we see today in the New Testament, and it's more of an area of a forthtelling of God, what God cares about you, what God wants to do and encourage you and so on and so forth. So the gift of prophecy is speaking forth the Word of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is a channel which the Lord may speak to his people, to encourage them. Of course, we have the Word of God, and it's the more sure word of prophecy. However, we also, where God uses people to be that one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit, as needing that push in your life, the Holy Spirit who comes alongside of us, as Jesus said. And in fact, the very work of the Holy Spirit gives that encouragement to us. It's just like getting our battery jumped. When we need it. It's just like providing for us exactly what we need at the right time. And we're told that God in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:1, he tells us that prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about how that works. So how does the gift of prophecy operate? Well, in my own personal experience, there comes into my mind a strong impression or a thought. And many times, all I have is the first sentence and maybe a word. But quite often, when I'm in prayer, especially on the time I'm getting ready to prepare for a teaching, I ask the Lord, I go, well, I can just teach what it says, but I'm not happy with that. For some reason, many years ago, the Lord put it upon my heart to seek him before I ever would teach it and ask him what he would want to bring forth through that, not just the teaching, but to bring forth through that. What kind of encouragement, what kind of area that he would reveal to me that needs to be dealt with? And sometimes it would only be a word. And that particular word, I'd begin to focus on it, and I go, yeah, that's what it says in there. It's buried in there. And it would speak to me. If nothing else, it was encouraging me. But despite common belief, prophecy is not only foretelling the future. Most of prophecy is forthtelling, especially in the New Testament, or speaking forth the Word of God. In fact, the gift of prophecy, as it was practiced in the early church, was more often used for edification, for exhortation and comfort than it was for ever predicting future events. So we have more of those areas that we can find throughout the New Testament. We'll see that in a few minutes. But it says here, to another prophecy in verse 10. And so Dr. Harry Ironside, great scholar of late, wrote to another prophecy. In the New Testament sense, prophecy is not the foretelling of future events. Prophecy is preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit of God that meets the actual need of those that are hearing or receiving. It's interesting because many times today, without a full understanding of the working of the Holy Spirit, a lot of pastors began to understand that prophecy, because of its meaning, or its dual meaning, can also be in teaching or bringing forth the Word of God. But it's not always inspired in the same way. Just because a person is teaching somebody, it has to have that other element of the Holy Spirit that brings it or zeroes right in. It may not be the whole of it, but it'll be within it, within the scope of it. So sometimes writing that's inspired by God, sometimes songs, sometimes even poetry, can have elements of prophetic encouragement within it. And sometimes you might be in need of a special area in your life, and you're just discouraged and you don't know what to do, and you're listening to a song on the radio and it just seems to hit right at home. It's not the words that are hitting you, it's the Holy Spirit that's breathing life into those words that are speaking to your heart. And you go, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And it may be for that season or for that moment, or it could be that teaching as well, or some thought that comes out on the radio through a devotion or whatever it may be. But there are moments when I hear that word or a topic and it begins to speak to me, and it's not even the teaching itself, but all of a sudden it's lifted within it. And I go, is that really there? And I'll search and yeah, it's there. Thank you, Lord. And it's the Lord speaking through that. So when that happens, I realize it's the Holy Spirit. So even while teaching or speaking to someone, and maybe just talking to them, and they're hurting or they've got a circumstance that's being revealed, you can be used by God to bring forth this element of spiritual or inspired prophecy speaking to them. And I'll show you exactly what I mean by that in just a moment. So I've learned to listen for the Holy Spirit's voice. And so it doesn't need to be a thus saith the Lord and all quivering. My voice doesn't have to change into something dramatic. In fact, it scares me when people try and pull that on me. You know, I've got to tell you a prophecy and whatever. Okay, yeah, let's hear it. And because I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do when that happens. But anyhow, as you put all this together, your voice shouldn't be changing. In fact, it should fit naturally within there, but it'll penetrate right between the soul and the spirit. That's what the Word of God does. It's able to divide the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, and it zeroes right in and cuts right there. Well, that happens with the Word of God, but so it does also through the prophetic Word of God. But the result is an edification to the hearer. Now, the purpose, B, of the prophecy, it's to edify the church. Now, the B that I'm giving you is not the one on provisions on Roman numeral 2 in your outline. I'm giving you as my study, okay? So it means the purpose is to edify the church. Prophecy is more valuable to the church because he who prophesies edifies the church. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, and I want you to look at something here, because when we speak of this gift, you got to really understand what's going on here, and this explains it a lot. So 1 Corinthians 14, follow along as I read verses 1 through 4. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Can you say amen to that? But especially that you may what? Prophesy. So all of us can have this gift, especially that you may prophesy, because this is one part of the meeting. This is not to be out there with a sign, the end is coming. And all of that. I'm not talking about that future like a prophet standing out there, but this here is the New Testament forthtelling of this gift. But he says, especially that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Underline those three areas. They're extremely important on this message this morning. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. And it says, but he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. What does that mean? The church is built up. The believers are built up. They're brought to that place of encouragement and strength. They got a little push from God through that prophecy element. So it edifies the church. Now, how does it operate? But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. First then, through prophecy, God speaks to the church to edify us, to build us up, to encourage us, to trust the Lord, and to lay hold of the promises of God, and to be strong in the Lord. Because sometimes you may know it's in the Bible, and people could tell you everything in the world, and you still feel, I'm in trouble, I need some help here, and I don't know what God is saying. And then all of a sudden, that prophetic word is spoken to build you up, to encourage you, and to exhort you, and to bring comfort to you. So, first, the word edification. Sometimes we just need that edification. You can read your Bible, people say, oh, just go read your Bible. People are reading their Bible day and night. They go, but I still feel this way. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And then sometimes through the Holy Spirit, like I said, they'll put a song on the radio or something happens, and there's an element within there. Not the whole song, but sometimes an element, and it just hits you. It zeroes in Well, that's the Holy Spirit just bringing that on into your life. See, these gifts aren't as complicated as some people have made them to be, and many people are afraid to teach on them, but I am not, because my pastor taught me all about it. And I learned very easily then that these things are for the body of Christ, to encourage one another. So the first of all, the word edify means to build up. It means to encourage. Now, go with me in the New Testament to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to give you a great example in the New Testament of this particular gift at work from an individual within the first church of the Lord raising up after Pentecost. And it's a great example to point this out. So, Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32. And here at verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Later on, of course, the point of the teaching is in the area of prophecy here, but there was also something that happened in the early church with Ananias and Sapphira, because they were trying to boast of themselves being that same way, but they weren't. They were dishonest, and God dealt with that. That's another story for another point in time. But here we have Barnabas. His real name by birth was Joseph, and he actually was a Levite. And yet at the same time, he was a very spiritual man, but he came to faith in Jesus Christ. But the apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What was that for? Because he was encouraging people. He just had that gift. And he may have had the gift of mercy too from the Romans' gifts, but he just seemed to have the word to say at the moment to encourage. And as you think about that, sometimes we know people like that. But Barnabas was a person, when you felt good when you were around him. He was a man who believed in the potential of people, in particular, those from whom cautions and suspicions were. In fact, with the Apostle Paul later on, it was Barnabas who kind of encouraged him to come along and be with the other apostles and to go out into all the world. And it was Barnabas who was behind all of that. In fact, it was the Lord working through Barnabas, but Barnabas was used by God. Barnabas was willing to give a failure. Remember, Paul, also called Saul at the time, had been persecuting the church. He was against the church. Nobody believed him, and certainly those first Christians didn't. But Barnabas, by the Holy Spirit, had this gift, and he was able to just reach out and touch him and encourage him that he could take all of those negative, bad, ugly things and use them for God. And I thought that was amazing. I remember my pastor, Pastor Chuck, I was sitting in his office interviewed as I was going to go to a pastoral education program, and I was talking to him about it, and I told him about how ugly my life was. I go, "Pastor Chuck, please don't just look at me by the time you've seen me here, but I want to tell you everything. I got to confess it." And he just looked at me like, "Dave, I don't have that much time." And I just told him everything I had done. And he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah." He says, "You've accepted Christ, right?" And I go, "Yes." And he goes, "Okay, what are you telling me all that stuff for? That's all history. That's before Christ." And he says, "And you know what? It might make you a person who could understand where people are at. So serve the Lord. Go to school and go ahead and God's calling you. It's definitely in your heart. Go forward with that." Well, it turned out to be right. But one of the main reasons I wanted us to look at the life of Barnabas to see if there's some aspect of his encouragement DNA, so to speak, that we can isolate and that we can grab into our own life personally, and we could be open to the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how powerful this could be if God could use you to encourage somebody whose life was a disaster and God was working a second chance through maybe what you would say to them? And how you would encourage them, because it would be the Holy Spirit. And yes, you might give them a Bible study, but the reality is within that Bible study will come forth that gift of that prophecy, that edification, and perhaps maybe that time of that prophecy to edify. It means to build up, and it also means to encourage, and maybe God would use you to do that. So there are times for each of us when our battery runs flat, isn't there? And we just need that encouragement ourselves. Encouragement means the coming alongside and the inputting of courage, because we need that encouragement, but you need a shot of that courage or a perspective or attitude that makes us get up and get going again. There are many things in life that cause us to experience discouragement, the opposite of that encouragement, the draining of our courage. Sometimes it's a crisis. Sometimes it's simply tiredness or sickness. Sometimes it's the cutting words or actions of another person. I think we've all had those moments where we've been discouraged. And yet, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will bring forth that encouragement. Sometimes I've been flipping through the Bible. Don't ever play Bible roulette. It's very dangerous. And I was looking for a word to encourage me, and it gets in here, and he took him out and hung him and out the city gate, and I go, okay, that's not me. Okay, look for another one. No. The Holy Spirit, it will work through the body of Christ or individuals or maybe even yourself to give you that encouragement, and sometimes he'll make it flash on a scripture that'll just jump out to you because it's all God's prophetic word. And so as you put that together, so bringing that encouragement, there are many things in life that cause us to experience it, and we become drained. To encourage is to do the opposite of discouragement. When courage is dissipated, encouragement is the replacing or the replenishment of that courage. It represents putting back that which has been leaked out or taken away. Now, in Romans 12:8, turn over there with me. And so Barnabas is a man that was called Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. So obviously in the early church, he was a guy, a nice guy to have around, and because he could be that person who could bring encouragement instead of discouragement. So Romans 12:8 lists the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, and beginning at verse 4, he says, "We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the graces given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy, in proportion to our faith." So how do we do it? Well, there's practical ways. There's five, you might say, areas of what Barnabas can teach us that would be significant in our own personal life when God is working this gift of encouragement or edification. And so the five of them, they're probably, there's nothing real significant about them, but you might say they're suggestions in a sense to allow God to work. First of all, allow people to grow. And I think that that's a condition we don't always have. Barnabas was a kind of encourager where he allowed people to grow. And sometimes we want to come down on them, oh, they're not growing, they're just not getting with the program and so on. Well, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we just saw in 1 Corinthians 14, the very first area brings to us that ability that people need to be allowed to grow. And that certainly was the Apostle Paul. Look at what happened as Barnabas encouraged him and brought him in. There's an interesting illustration. In the early days when Paul was converted, Barnabas was willing to take him in and to teach him, being a Levite, but also Paul, remember, was a Pharisee. He knew the Word of God as well, the Old Testament, but Barnabas taught him how to apply these things. So it's the application in this case. So Barnabas was the leader, but Paul was actually his apprentice at the beginning. It would be later on, there was a custom within Bible interpretation especially, that in a first time when somebody would come alongside, their name was mentioned first. So it was mentioned in the book of Acts, it was Barnabas and Paul. And then later on, it flips. It became Paul and Barnabas. And so it did change because one was the apprentice and then one was no longer the apprentice. Secondly, affirm the capability that you see in other people. When I see something in somebody, I like to encourage them. I like to help them. And they tell me, oh, Dave, we need this in the church, we need that. And I go, good, you can do it. And in fact, if you want to help out, I'm going to send you over to Liz, and Liz will get you started in the ministry. And so we have all these people today serving because she also is an encourager, and she'll get you working too. She'll even try and get me working too. No, she's gentle on me, but the capability that you see in other people. In fact, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, there's a passage in verse 37 through verse 38, where it is given an instruction concerning there. It says, because of you, the Lord became angry with me also, Moses said, and said, you shall not enter it, but your assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, will enter. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. So Moses is transferring that authority over to Joshua, who would lead the children of Israel. And he saw that capability, but God also spoke it to him. And so sometimes we pass on those areas of ministry because people should be encouraged to do it. They don't think they can do it, but they can. They just don't think they can. And sometimes they just need somebody to come alongside and encourage. They may need some lessons along the way because they lose that courage, and you got to keep them going. Thirdly, point people to the opportunity side of a problem. I think there is where I see this gift work more often than not, because people sometimes, because of the problems they're facing and the circumstances, they get overwhelmed and they lose all of their courage and they become discouraged. And as a former counselor, I was dealing with that all the time. People would lose their courage for their marriage, lose their courage for their children, lose their courage for their work, lose their courage at the church. I mean, they were always losing their courage and becoming discouraged. And so God began to work this through me, and I began to take several scriptures. One that I would help people with would be James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And I say, you know what? You're going through this right now, but God's developing in you perseverance. Oh, the devil did this and the devil did that. Well, you know what? God uses the devil. God uses the devil to challenge you and to challenge your faith. But he's using the devil, and he's taking advantage of that. So you get tested in your faith, and you're going, I just want to give up. And you shouldn't, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And then what does he go on and say? And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, the encourager looks beyond the immediate pain and suffering to what God is painting on the big picture. They lift the vision of people up to see that even in this disastrous circumstance, it can be used for God to bring good. And I can apply that with what's going to happen on Tuesday. I'm not sure how yet, but I'm going to be applying it, because the reality is we need perseverance. But you know what? We're going to be tested in our life. I don't care what side you're on. And we all get tested in many different ways, but being a Barnabas doesn't necessarily minimize the pain and suffering that a person goes through. It is more just being that, it's more than just being positive. It is more than that. It's taking what God has given and shown and applying it so people can be encouraged with it. Fourthly, tell stories about what God has done in your life. I think it's important. If I want to be a Barnabas or encourager, I can say the trials I've been through, I can match yours any day. I had somebody come in when I was counseling, and they said, you're not going to believe this, Pastor. And I go, oh, that's what I said to my pastor. And I said, so let's start right there. And they go, well, I've done things that you just can't even imagine that anybody could do. I go, well, I could probably match you on all those. But we're not here to match stories. We're here to match what's going on. Tell me. And then from there began to bring about that encouragement from God. Because you see, that's what we're called to do. So this gift of prophecy is not as complicated as you might think, because sometimes you'll hear that voice inside your inner mind and thoughts, and you're listening to somebody and they're going through something, they're telling you the whole story, and you say, well, I gotta go, gotta get out of here, I don't want to hear anymore. And you go, no, you're missing an opportunity. You ought to say, God, I pray while they're speaking to me, in the name of Jesus, give me that word, that prophetic word that can encourage them. And that might be that gift of prophecy. In fact, it says, and Paul told how God was at work in his situation, provided also a powerful encouragement to other people that would also look from their suffering and turn it into good. In Philippians 1:14, Paul said, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and more without fear. Because that which God has done, and he brought you through it, he can take them through it too. And fifthly and lastly, be committed to the Christian community. And I think as Paul said on these gifts, remember, don't let it just be passed by. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And I also told you in verse 31, where he says in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he's going to talk about love, so in the second part of that verse. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And I've always said, what is the best gift? The one that's needed. So when you are there with somebody going through something difficult, or your child, or your young person, and I know this has happened, and I've got a daughter that really works this gift of encouragement. In fact, people are drawn to her because she's always encouraging, and she always gives forth that encouragement, and she doesn't realize it so much, but it was back in her early life, I was sharing with her at times when she was going through difficult times, how God would just bring encouragement to her, and today, she is that encourager. And yet it's a gift of the Holy Spirit working through on that one part. So be committed to the Christian community, you see, because we're in the church, we can be here to encourage one another. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, be encouraged. Yeah, and you just started maybe a small part of what God can add. And sometimes maybe that's all it'll say, but it'll go beyond that, as God will add to those things. We know for certain that those who wrote the New Testament book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it actually, but some say it was Barnabas. And some say it was Paul, but both of them combined together, it was the Holy Spirit who used whatever they had. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another, how we may spur up one another, in one translation, and encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So the back part of that verse is saying, the back channel is saying, as you see the day of the Lord coming, you are supposed to be significant in the body of Christ, encouraging and being that significant one to help one another. So all of us need that. And you say, well, I don't know if I really need this gift. Yes, you do. And so you need to be able to use it. And Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so you put that point on their life. Coming together with fellow Christians and being a part of the Christian community encourages fellow believers in their walk with the Lord. And I think it's so important, because sometimes we see that people have just kind of gone away from their fellowship with God. And I think one of the problems is that people are not operating in the gifts of the Spirit, encouraging each other. And so I need to encourage you when you come to church. And you need to encourage me. We all need that encouragement from God. And if you don't need that encouragement of God, well, I can self-sustain. Brother, there's a day coming where you're not going to be able to. And you need that encouragement. You need that prophetic word. If we're really serious about behaving in the Barnabas-style DNA, then we need to adopt that high value of the Christian community, because that's the greatest place. To another way, being Christian is not just me and Jesus. It's more correctly, we and Jesus. It's Jesus working through us. So how does it operate? So I said, first of all, and in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, say edification, and exhortation and comfort to men. So exhortation is the second term of understanding this gift. In fact, it's interesting because people say, well, I don't really see where I can fit in or do anything. We have a man in our church who came to me one day and he says, Pastor Dave, who's doing the lawns out here? I go, well, we have to pay a landscaper to do this. And he goes, you know, he says, I really feel I can do that, and I want to do it. I go, you sure? Because we pay quite a bit of money to have this done, and believe me, we could definitely use the relief from that. And he goes, well, I can do it. And then I came in about a week or two ago, and he's out there with his lawnmower, and he's just cutting all that grass, just happy as a lark. He's just happy as can be. What is he doing? Well, what he's doing is that work of bringing forth and doing his part. He's been exhorted by the Spirit of God, and he's saying, I can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you can do it too. And the question is, what is next? What can you do? So thirdly, but he who prophesies speaks edification, say exhortation, when the Holy Spirit exhorts you to do something, and then comfort to men. What does that mean? Well, In fact, somebody wrote, in fact, his name was Bob Benson. He says, when life caves in, you do not need reasons, you need comfort. You do not need some answers, you need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation. He comes to us with his presence and the power of his presence. He brings comfort. Some time ago, Time magazine ran an article that reported the benefits of religion and the church. And some of the observations were this. One, heart surgery patients who draw comfort from their religious faith have a significantly higher survival rate than those who do not. So you get a benefit. Your heart's going to be better in church. Secondly, the blood pressure of people who attend church is 5 millimeters lower than those who do not. So your heart is going to be at ease, your blood pressure. If they told you you need blood pressure, then say, I need to go to church more. Okay. And then thirdly, people with religious faith who attend church on a regular basis experience less depression than non-religious people. See, I realize I need to get on the front end as a counselor. Instead of dealing with all these chronically depressed and severely depressed people, I need to get on the front end and teach people. And when you teach people, then guess what? Depression gets out of the way. Fourthly, suicide is 4 times higher amongst non-churchgoers than churchgoers. Ah, don't even have to worry about that. And World War II was drawing to a close. The Allied armies gathered up many hungry orphans. They were placed in camps where they were well fed. Despite excellent care, they slept poorly. They seemed nervous and afraid. Finally, a psychologist came up with a solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to hold on to after they went to bed. That particular piece of bread was just to be held, not to be eaten. The piece of bread produced wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing that they would have food to eat when they woke up in the morning. The guarantee gave us, the children, a restful and contented sleep. And that came out of the bread of life. However, I can tell you this. Sometimes just that hope that God can bring, that comfort, is all we need. So he needs you to bring forth that prophetic word. Now, there are instances where it has a future element. I'll have to cover that part next week because that is very involved on how to judge it and so on. But this morning, join me as we pray to get ready to receive the greatest prophetic word, and that is the Lord himself within communion, to have fellowship with him. Father God, I pray this morning, as we're about to take communion, that you, Lord God, would speak to our hearts and give us that exhortation, give us that comfort, give us that building up, edification, as we look to you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. They're going to pass on.